Helium, help us out.
Blessings you freely give, I owe my life to Him. I've got so much to thank Him for. I've got so much to thank Him for,
so much
to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me. When I think
of what He's
done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. And sometimes
while
on this way, I kneel and stop to say thank you for all You've done for me. When
I reach
sweet heaven shore, oh please,
let me kneel
once more. I've got so much to thank Him for. I've got so much to thank Him for,
so much
to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me. When I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. When I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Amen.
So far apart,
even though some may applaud me, You alone can see my heart. You don't look at my achievements or my abilities. All You really want is all of me. And though it's hard for me to give up my control, there is only room for one King in the throne room of my soul. Lord, You took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. You delivered me from Pharaoh, now set me free from me. Let my heart become a promised land where the desert used to be. Lord, You took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. But the eyes that only look to earth will lose their rich rewards. Of the fellowship eternal, the blessed unity, the ones who live in Jesus no longer search in me. Oh, I love the gifts You've given, but I love the giver more. And to worship You more perfectly are what those gifts are for. Lord, You took me out of Egypt, now take
Egypt
out of me. You delivered me from Pharaoh, now set me free from me. Let my heart become a promised land where the desert used to be. Lord, You took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me.
Amen. Amen. That's it, man. That's the Christian life. But I know this. Someone asked me one time and said, Brother Spurgeon, do all fairy tales begin with once upon a time? And I said, no, some of them begin with, now that you're saved, all your problems are over. I'll tell you what, the day you get saved, you took on a problem you didn't have before. You took on the flesh lusting against that brand new spirit. And that flesh fights hard. And it never stops. Lord didn't have any problem delivering us from Egypt by faith. I like that, brother. I like that. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Amen. But then the battle begins for us, amen, to break free from this world with such a draw and the God of it that's fighting so hard. Amen. Take your Bible tonight and turn it to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. What another beautiful day the Lord gave. What a special treat it was for my wife and I to get to meet and fellowship and be encouraged by the Wests. That was an unexpected pleasure. And pray for them. They are in the middle of a long ordeal today. When will they get to Poland? Sometime tomorrow. So that's a airports and flights and all that. And I just appreciate getting a chance to meet them. Acts chapter 15, look with me in verse 36. Acts chapter 15 tonight, verse 36. The Bible says this, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. I like that verse. I like that idea. That's what we do. We go again to every city where we have preached the word of the Lord to see how the brethren do. Amen. I'm glad that's in there. I enjoy my job. I'm glad God did some miracle in my wife's heart to enjoy it as much as I do. Amen. I want to ask you a question tonight because I want to do what they're doing. It says, I'll read it again. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. I want to ask you a question tonight. I want to preach on this thought. How you doing? How are you doing? That's why we're here. We've been here before. We preached here before. We're back. We're here to preach again. We love you. We came to see how you're doing. So I want to ask you, how are you? How are you doing? That's a common greeting. I'm talking about from Maine to Miami, from New York City to the Rocky Mountains, Minneapolis to Los Angeles, and all the way down to Texas. They have a little twang to it. How y'all doing? But that's pretty common, and here's a pretty common response to it. Doing all right. Doing all right. Now that doesn't mean we don't have struggles. That don't mean we don't have problems. And we do. But if you're saved in here tonight, in the long view, that's what God's got. The long view. If you're saved here tonight, you're doing all right. Amen. Paul's talking about visiting and seeing how they do. And I want to preach to you tonight on that thought and give you a couple things to think about and provoke you to consider. Amen. And then respond to if that's what's necessary. So let's pray again. Father, I come to you in the name that is above every name. And Lord God, I am humbled by the privilege to stand in this pulpit. And dear Lord Jesus Christ, I pray and ask that you'd guide my thoughts and enable me to say not what I want to say, not what's according to the notes that I have. I pray that God, you might guide and direct my thoughts and words so that something might be said your Spirit can work with. Something might be said that accomplish your purpose in the hearts of the hearers tonight. There's a bunch of folks here, Lord God. There's a lot of places they could be, and they didn't come to hear me, and they didn't come for entertainment, Lord. They came to hear from you, and I pray that they would. So I submit the message to you and pray and ask for your help again in the name of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let me give you a couple areas to consider here tonight. Take your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. And we're going to read verse 1. And it's appropriate that after the wonderful chapter on faith, it begins verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." And sometimes it just does us well to remember of those that have gone on before, those that have endured hardship before. Sometimes that's just a thing that'll help you remember that the lily of the valleys, plural, are the one that got them, this so great a cloud of witnesses, the one, the lily, the lovely Lord that got you through the last, whatever it was, well, he'll get you through the next one too. Amen. When the devil tried to get you off on your own and try to convince you that woe is you, well, sometimes it's good to remember that there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will also with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Amen. Verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." And they're there. And it's our obligation to determine what they are. You know what I found out? Denial is not just a river in Egypt. Amen. Denial is what some Christians choose to live in when it comes to areas and aspects of their life that need to be confessed and repented of. Amen. Some things just need to get, at least honest with God about. Amen. The point number one comes out of the last part of the verse. It says, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So let me ask you, how are you doing tonight at running your race? How are you doing at running your race? Are you doing all right? Are you doing all right? Let me say some things about the race. It has rules. I'm talking about the Christian race. We're talking about the walk with God. Amen. The run. It says run with patience. The race that is set before us. There's rules, man. And it's important to have rules. I was in Los Angeles one year, finished a great meeting, had a couple days before moving on. And the pastor there is a good friend of mine. And my wife and I and Evie and Rachel, we ended up over at their house, and we're going to play a game. We're going to play a game. It was called Mexican Train. Anybody ever heard of it? Okay, a couple people. I found out about my glasses back on. Anybody ever heard of it? I thought I saw something. Okay, I had never heard of it. It's a game. You play with dominoes. Amen. No gambling. Don't get excited. We sat down. And they poured all these dominoes out. It's fun. You know, they can have eight players or something. So there was plenty. And it was good. And I learned how to play it from the pastor and his wife that taught us. And then we went on to another church and we asked them and they'd never heard of it. We got a game and we taught them and we taught them how to play it. And we taught them how to play it according to the rules as they were taught to us. And we went somewhere else, and pretty soon, you know, we had turned several people onto this game. It's kind of fun, good, healthy fellowship. Then we got home, and a dear friend of mine, his kids know how to play it, we got together, and we're going to play Mexican Train one day at my house. Only problem was, They played by different rules. It was very frustrating. Every time I'd formulate a strategy, every time I thought I had a move together, I'd put it down, and the brother's wife would say, "Oh, you can't do that." And I go, "What do you mean?" "Well, the rules say, who reads that stuff? You know, what, you read the rule book? Are you kidding? I'm going to tell you something. The game wasn't much fun if everybody wasn't playing by the same rules. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm glad tonight that we've got the rules. Thank God tonight for that, that the King James Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Amen. I'm glad we got it. Amen. And you know, there's a lot of them in there, so let me just give you one. It says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, I believe, says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Here's the rules. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. How's that? We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Say, well, are there any other rules? Hey, you know what? When we master that, we can move on. Yeah. Amen. But that's the rule. That's not up for opinion. That's just up for discussion. That's rules. I'm talking about how you doing at running your race. Are you running according to the rule book? You know, it says over there in 2 Peter chapter 3, down toward the end of the passage, there's a crowd that would wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. And I ran into that crowd too. And they don't want to play by the rules. And so they don't, they just make it mean what... I'm going to tell you something. If you want to take that Bible and make it mean what you want it to mean, you can come up with a great variety of things. I mean, you can handle rattlesnakes if you want. I can give you the verses. And I can show you places where they do it. Boy, am I glad I learned to rightly divide. I don't like snakes. Amen. Thank God, in this race, we've got the rules. Amen. And you know why I can come here? I didn't have to take a fill out an application to come here. You know why? Because it was understood that we go by the same rule book. We become friends and got to know each other because that was settled before the first time that I came in. I'm a Bible believer. Amen. And I knew that you were. So, not that I wouldn't have come if you weren't, but if I would have, I would have tried to convert you. Amen. But I'm glad I didn't have to, because I heard New Yorkers are kind of hard-headed. What do you think? Ain't truth to that? Amen. So I'm glad that we have the same rules. Amen. Because, beloved, there's a race. There's a race that needs to be run. And so, number one, has to do with the rule book. But take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. How you doing at running your race? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul speaks of it. In verse 24, I believe it is, 24, and Paul tries to give a comparison here that they can grasp, and that's how the Bible works. Repetition, contrast, and comparison. That's how the Bible is laid out to make it graspable for us. He says this, know ye not, he's talking to a church just like this, New Testament, saved by faith, saved by grace through faith, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So he's drawing this parallel with this race, and he's saying, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. In other words, anybody that signs up for any kind of competition, they when they get involved in it, man, they go with one objective, and that's to win. And they give it all they've got. And they make whatever sacrifice they need to make so that they can be equipped to be a potential winner. That's the whole purpose. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. And whether it's the Indy 500 or the Boston Marathon or whatever, or a horse race, you've got a bunch competing against each other, knowing that one is going to cross that finish line and win the plastic trophy or whatever it is. But man, now listen, let's face it. People, they work out, they practice, they train, they deprive themselves, they do whatever they gotta do, to give it all they got. And that's just logic, that's just common sense when a person signs up to be a competitor, because that's why he draws the parallel. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all. He's giving them something just like I've given it to you. You're sitting there going, okay, we get it. Well, then he says this. So run that you may obtain. Everybody knows. Anybody gets involved in anything, gives it all to God. He's saying, wait, duh. Then you need to give it all you got. Amen. And it says it so ye may obtain. Listen, we're not competing. What about that? We're not competing with one another. There's no little plastic trophy. There's no blue ribbon. At the end of this thing, he says, listen, beloved, give it all you got. We're running with each other, not against each other. We can all be victors in Jesus Christ. But we need to run all. How you doing at that? I'm asking you, are you running all? Listen, when you got saved, you got signed up. Amen. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And amen. Are you still running? I'm glad you're here on a Monday night. I see that you're here. But are you still running with all you got? It's just a crying shame. That's why it says over there in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. If we faint not, some around the country have grown weary. They've given it their best, but they've grown weary. Amen. Listen, rest if you got to, but don't quit. Just get back in the race and give it all you got. Amen. Let us run with race. How you doing tonight at running your race? Amen. Thank God. We got the rule book, but it's not just enough to have it tucked under the arm. The Bible says that if you're a hearer and not a doer, well, it says you deceive yourself. Amen. Here's how what we do. Well, I'm okay. Well, are you? That's what I want to ask you. That's what I want you to ask yourself. Are you? Are you doing okay? I'm not asking if you're saved. How you doing at running your race? Amen. I remember watching a track event in high school, and from the bleachers, because I was no track runner then. Amen. And it was a 440 and 440 yards, and they're running around, and you know, they took off. I can't remember what started them, a whistle. And I'm up there watching, and you know, for a while, you know, shoulder to shoulder and neck to neck. But as the race continued to make a lap around, as it went, some started lagging behind as the leaders, you know, kind of separated, and some just quit. It got out, you know, and some are like, I mean, they were all, even the leaders, even the ones in the best shape for this, man, it looked like they were kind of struggling. And I remember thinking, man, is anybody even going to finish? Something happened. I watched this, and I remember this all these years later. I remember that when a handful of them that were just trying to stay in the race, when they came around that final turn, I guess you shouldn't call it the clubhouse turn because that's horse racing, right? When it come around that last turn, I mean, I remember seeing these guys that, man, it looked like it was a miracle. They made it down the back stretch. All of a sudden, man, they drew strength from somewhere. Listen, they started to pick up the pace. I watched, and as those guys, as the finish line came into view, as they got their sights on that finish line, they weren't dragging anymore. They picked up the pace. They started sprinting. I don't know where they got the strength, but I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, the finish line is coming into view. It's not time to lighten up. It's not time to lag behind. It's not time to be satisfied with the sidelines. Listen, I believe the lovely Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready to break over that eastern sky and call a church home. It's time to pick up the pace. It's time to run it all. How you doing? How you doing at running your race tonight? He said, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. How you doing? How you doing at running your race? Are you doing all right? Amen. How about this? Take your Bible, go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse number 7. The Bible says this. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let me ask you, how you doing at resisting the devil? How you doing tonight? You're in church Monday night, praise the Lord. How you doing at resisting the devil? I'm going to tell you something right now. You can be saved, you can be a church member, you can be faithful, you can put money in the plate, amen. But if you're not submitted to God, you're not doing very well at resisting the devil. You hear me? It gets worse. Verse 8, it says this, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded man. Says one thing and does another. Yes, I'm saved. And I like the way it's put over there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I believe it's verse 25. It says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them a repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil or taken captive by him at his will. I can't think of a better description of those that oppose themselves than people that claim to be saved, claim to love God, but boy, everything about them is running the other direction. Let me tell you something. Not only, if you're not drawing nigh to God, if you're not submitted to God, not only are you not resisting the devil, I've got news for you. He's closing in on you. If you're not getting closer to God on a regular basis, listen, God's not standing still. The devil's not standing still either. And if you are, the devil. Listen, Job chapter 1 and chapter 2 tells us that the devil is walking about up and down and to and fro in the earth. He's on the move. And if you're not getting closer to God, if you're not drawing nigh to God, he's drawing nigh to you. You need to think about it that way. You're not submitted to God. Amen. You're not drawing nigh to God. The other guy's drawing nigh to you. I know it. You're not saying intentionally, but that book says be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary. You have a personal adversary. Do you know that? Day you got saved, boy, the devil put his crosshairs on you. You didn't bother him before you got saved. You was going to end up in the same devil's hell he is. Amen. But boy, once you got saved, you've got a personal relationship with the devil. It says, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Beloved, we've got an enemy that's subtle. We've got an enemy that has devices, plural. The Bible says we're not to be ignorant of his devices. He's a liar, John chapter 8. He's the author of pride and confusion and doubt. Yea, hath God said. And the first thing he said when he showed up in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 was he tried to cause Eve to question what God said. You know what he does today? Still does the same thing. Oh, the King James Bible, that's not the Word of God. That's just the best we could do with the lost manuscript. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I'd be ashamed of myself if God looked down from heaven and saw that I didn't believe that He could keep the promise He made in Psalm 12 and verse 7. He says that He would preserve it. Amen. Sure, man lost the original. Man loses everything. Man fails in every dispensation. God never fails. Amen. You know, people say, well, the devil will give me a hard time. That's not the devil's desire. It says, seeking whom he may devour. That's violence right there. That means eat alive. That's what he likes to do to you and me. He knows if you're saved, he knows he can't get your soul. The devil's more doctrinally sound than most people that claim to be Christians are. Amen. He also knows how ignorant we are. Amen. And like I said, he is the author of confusion and doubt and discord. And he's to be resisted. And it's not a secret formula. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. So you can be saved and you can know some Bible. Maybe you went to Bible Institute. Maybe you learned something. Maybe you got some notches on your belt. Maybe you've handed out some tracts. Are you submitted to God, or have you made up your mind that, you know, you're going to do it your way? Well, don't stand next to me in a lightning storm. Amen. I found out a long time ago my way is the wrong way. Amen. How you doing tonight at running your race? Are you still running? Are you still running with all you got? Amen. How you doing tonight? You're resisting the devil? Are you doing all right? How about this? Take your Bible, go to Psalm, one of them, they're all good. Go to Psalm 60. Simple message tonight. They're all simple. I'm a simple preacher. Yeah, God made it simple enough for me to get saved. And not just that, simple enough to understand. I get guys once in a while, they'll say, well, man, what does this mean? They'll go back to Habakkuk or something. I'm going, I don't know, man. I don't have a clue. Amen. But I know enough. I know enough to know that the best thing that ever happened to me was bound my heart to Jesus Christ. I know that the next best thing that ever happened to me was getting in a little church that believed that book and preached that book. Amen. Amen. Psalm 60 and verse number 4, the Bible says this, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. A banner to them that fear thee. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's not the end of wisdom. That just is what wakes you up to who He is, and then you get in that book, and that's where wisdom is. But it says to them, because of that it may display because of the truth. Man, that Bible says you shall know the truth. And I mean, the government will lie to you. A religion will lie to you. Hollywood will lie to you. Your favorite talk show host will lie to you. Amen. That Bible won't lie to you because of the truth. It says a banner. You know what that banner is for you and I? That's your personal testimony. You know, it's easy. We think, so what's your testimony? Well, I got saved on such and such a day. Well, that's part of it. Your testimony is your present, current walk with God. That's what will have an effect on somebody else. How are you doing tonight at raising your banner? Boy, it's good. We clean up and we can walk into church with our little Bible tucked under our arm. But I'm talking about at school. I'm talking about at work. I'm talking around the old crowd. How you doing at raising your banner? Does anybody know you're Christian? Amen? They ought to. A banner, that's what a banner's for, is to be displayed. And that's what it says in the passage. One time we came home, we were on the road for a while, months, and we came home and had to drive by a fire station right there. We live in Beaver Creek, Ohio. I know, I never heard of it either. Pretty nice place to have an address. I'm never there much. I'm usually in some church's driveway and having the time of my life. Amen. Don't have to mow grass. Somebody else does. Amen. Don't have to mow the gravel. And but I come by the fire station, and there's a flagpole And there's a flag up there, and it's ragged. It's faded, it's ripped, it's frayed, and it's insulting to me. Amen. And as soon as I got home, I think this was in the phone book days. Amen. When we actually had a wire at our house with a phone. Amen. And you didn't have to worry about driving while you were talking on the phone because the cord wasn't that long. Brother Tony said it's something about motorcycle riding. Is it safe? No, it's not safe. And it's only gotten worse since people started texting and talking on a phone. It's 100 times more dangerous than ever. But anyway, this is back when you actually had to look the number up in a phone book. I called the fire chief. I said, I give him the station number. I said, that flag's coming down. If I got to come over and take it down, I'm a veteran, and that's unacceptable. Man, a tattered flag is a disrespectful testimony. Amen. But what about a tattered, a ragged, a frayed, what about a testimony of a child of God? Amen. That's just as ragged as an old flag. It's a bad testimony.
Yes.
It ought not be so. Maybe you never looked at it that way before. That's why I'm here to tell you. It's important, man. I mean, Christianity, Brother Pat says it well. This isn't Christianity. Coming to church isn't Christianity. This is where we come to be reproved, rebuked, exhorted. This is where we come to learn, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. This is where we come to weep with those that weep and rejoice that with them that rejoice. That's where we come here. This is where we come to be sharpened. And so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Christianity is what you do with what happens in here. When you walk out that door. That's what Christianity is. That's the Christianity that was turning the world upside down in Acts 17. That's the Christianity that turned David Spurgeon's world upside down. And many of you too. The real thing. Amen. Not just token. Okay, we have a flagpole. What can we throw up there? No, I'm going to tell you what. A banner is to be displayed. How you doing at raising your banner? A banner identifies something. In the paratroopers in the Army, I was in Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 509th Airborne Infantry Battalion Combat Team. Pretty fancy name. Well, it was a fancy unit. It was an elite unit. I wear jump wings a lot of times, my belt buckle. I got to go back 40 years to find something that I'm not ashamed of. But I'm not ashamed that I served my country. I'm not ashamed that I was an airborne infantryman. I'm not ashamed of that.
Amen.
And boy, they would have an assembly on the parade ground. They'd bring a general over overseas to where we were from the 82nd Airborne, and they'd put on a big parade, they'd call it, but it wasn't really parade, formation. And we'd march by that reviewing stand. And boy, out in front of our company, we had a guidon bearer. And that's what they call that flag that says Bravo Company. And boy, that guy's holding that thing. And we marched by that general. And we had those berets on and those blouse jump boots. And man, we got up there in front of that. We went by that stand and they'd say, eyes left. And we'd salute and we'd turn. And that last guy in the end, he'd focus straight. Those lines would stay straight. And we wanted to look good. You know why? Because we didn't want to be confused with Charlie Company. Bunch of ragtag. We didn't want to be confused with Alpha Company. We didn't want to be confused with anybody. We had a banner out in front of us. We wanted people to know who we are. We were in uniform. We wanted to look good because of what we represented.
Amen.
And a banner identifies something. That book says in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and it says, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Yeah. It doesn't say the multitude that heard and believed. No, disciples. Disciples. That's some people that put some effort into following Jesus Christ. Discipline. Work. And these people, I tell you what, it got them a nickname, and it wasn't awarded to them. Well, it's just like every other nickname. It's derogatory. Christian. That's right. I'll tell you what, it's the best thing I ever been called. Amen. These people were different because of Jesus Christ. And they weren't ashamed to let people know. Amen. A banner displays something. A banner identifies something. A banner declares something. You know, one of the verses that I got a hold of early on in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You know, at my young Christian, you know, I wasn't a young man, but I was a young Christian, and I looked at that and I thought, man, I got colors tattooed on my back, on my arm. I rode around the country, leather vest on. I wasn't ashamed to let people know what I loved, what I'd fight for, what I'd die for. And then I found out that, man, I got in with a crowd with this New Testament Christians, and they weren't ashamed of what they loved either. Amen. That's why I fit in so well. That's why bikers make good Christians when you get them saved, finally. Amen? Maybe. Listen, it's just truth matter. Truth of matter across the country, people don't mind telling you what they love. Yeah. I'm talking about walk to the parking lot at Walmart or Target or the grocery store and just read bumper stickers. You'll find out all kinds of things about people. Look at t-shirts and ball caps and sweatshirts. People are not ashamed to let people know what they care about. I love Jesus Christ. And I ain't ashamed to let anybody know it. Amen. Listen, if you're saved, your very life ought to declare that you believe in and you belong to and you follow Jesus Christ. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I'm saved, but I don't... Oh, okay. Really? I don't get it, man. How you doing tonight? Raising your banner. How you doing at running your race? How you doing at resisting the devil? Amen? How you doing at raising your banner? Did I have a poem tonight? Oh, I must have another point. Take your Bible, go to Mark chapter 5. Now, Mark chapter 5, this is one of my favorite Bible characters, the maniac of Gadara. I mean, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look this guy up. And then I'm going to say, where's that thief on the cross? Where is he at? And then the maniac Gadara, he's going to take me. And the thief on the cross, and that died there with Christ, and the maniac Gadara, and me, the three of us, we're going to have a shout-it-out, old-fashioned fit. You know why? Because the three of us, we're going to know, we already know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we will be in heaven by absolutely no virtue of our own. And you know what? I want you to feel welcome to join right in, because you're not going to be in heaven because of any virtue of your own either.
That's right. Amen.
I like this guy, might call the preach, comes out of here. I wrote the book because of this verse, Mark chapter 5. Let's look at verse 18. Thank you for praying about the book. I guess there's over 6,000 of those out now. I've got emails from old gang members. I've got emails and from enemy gang members. It's opened doors that were closed to me for 20 years. Keep praying for that. Mark chapter 5 and Mark, not spelled the same. That didn't look good at all. Verse 18, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with..." I like the past tense there. You know what I'm saying? "He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Well, my friends, I mean, a lot of circumstances were together. I couldn't go home to my friends. I go to prisons, preach on the street, wherever, but I couldn't really have much of an impact on the crowd that God saved me out of. And I asked God about that. Finally, I just kept, you know, I had a burden for him. I prayed for him. And that's when he showed me. Write it down. Write a book. Write a book that they'll read. And that's where that book comes from. An attempt to go home to my friends and tell them what great things the Lord had done for me. And have that compassion on thee. And this fellow right here, this is the maniac Gadara. Here's a guy often bound in fetters and chains. Here's a guy that's running around naked. Here's a guy that's living in a graveyard, sleeping in the tombs. This guy's... Now God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is telling him, sending him, go tell your friends about me. What a blessing. Who'd ever thought? God used this passage to confirm a call to preach. I got saved in a rescue, or not, I got called to preach in a rescue mission in Columbus, Ohio, where Brian is, at Brother Hood's. I got called to preach there. And one night I said, oh God, that's thanks, but let's face it, I can't. Too much stuff in my past. He showed me this guy. He said, if I can use him, Spurgeon. And I went, oh, okay. So I surrendered. But I want you to notice something. The maniac Gadara, verse 6, it said, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. He ran toward him. Not the same way some of us ran a few times. He ran toward him. And the Lord cast the devils out of him. I hope you know the story. Read it on your own. But between verse 5, when this guy gets saved, and verse 19, when the Lord says, now go tell others, there's something that happens in verse 15. And it says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Now look what he's doing. He's not running around like a maniac now. He's sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Now, he spends between the time, between the graveyard in verse 6 and the commission to go in verse 19. This guy spent some time with his mouth shut and his ears open, listening to and learning from Jesus Christ. And God would like to use you to tell others how great things he's done for you and have that compassion on you. That's what he wants to use you for. But for you to be a vessel remotely meet for the master's use, you're going to have to spend some time with Jesus. You're going to have to spend some time in that book. You're going to have to spend some time around other Christians. You're going to have to spend some time in church. You're going to have to learn what to say, or you're just another loudmouth loose cannon with a testimony that causes people to be confused rather than be convicted. Here's what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. Howbeit for this cause, here's what Paul said. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy. If you're saved in here tonight, that's what you obtained. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. This was Paul's purpose, and it's your purpose to be a pattern that the Lord Jesus Christ can use to the folks that aren't saved yet. When's the last time? Let me ask you, how are you doing at reaching others? Because that's why you're here. Amen? When's the last time you, and I know some of you have, we've had visitors, and maybe all of you do, but when's the last time you invited somebody to church? Maybe they didn't come. Every week I'm somewhere preaching and somebody's standing at the door and the song service is starting and they're watching, they're looking at their watch and they're pacing, and I know exactly what's going on. Somebody promised they would come and they don't. And I'll see that person come in and he's disappointed. Not always. Thank God people do come. But thank God people invite. If you don't invite somebody, they're not going to come. Every once in a while, they will. Some will. Some will come. Some will get saved. When's the last time you had a really good witness? Some of us, I think, are afraid we'll have a good witness. We'll give a track and go. But I'll tell you what, it might be a good idea. Wake up in the day and say, God, would you give me an opportunity today to invite somebody to church? Maybe to give somebody a track? Maybe. Actually, really tell somebody about what the Lord did for me. That'd be a good way to start the day. Amen? Amen. How you doing at reaching others? Are you doing all right? Four simple things tonight. Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Four areas. I'm not going to go over them again. But you ask yourself, and if you're not happy with the answer on anyone or more than one, do something about it. Forgetting that which is behind and reaching forth unto that which is before, or whatever, yesterday, forget it. But today, from here on, what are you going to do? If you're not happy with the answer, then do something about it. Tomorrow will be better. Amen? And if you're not saved, well, you're not doing well at all. Now, you might be doing okay in this life, but you're not going to do so well in the next one. And, boy, the Lord worked that out. And you can do something about that tonight, too. You can listen to what the preacher has to say. You can put your faith and trust in Him, forsaking all. Trust Him. It works. I tried it. I did it. I didn't have no idea what I was getting into. But I'm glad. Boy, am I glad somebody just told me the truth. Amen? Let's all stand. Preacher.
Oh, amen. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Pat, if you'll come. Boy, you got a lot of help tonight. It's a lot of help tonight for you. And you don't even need to wait for the music, wait for the song. If God spoke to your heart tonight, you need some help with any of those areas, running your race, resisting the devil, raising your banner, reaching others. I think probably every one of us ought to be down here just talking to God about these things. I don't want to coax you. I don't want to twist your arm.